Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Gittin Daf Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 10 lines from the top of Daf Zayin. Before we begin the actual Gemara, we glance at the side where we have our Nosei slash Mivneh heading, the Nosei being the topic heading, Mivneh a structural note. In our Gemara, you will note the use of a squiggle underline. This represents a ma'akav, a chance to keep track, achar du siach, following the two-way conversation between Mar Ukva and Rebbe Lozar. Benosei, Eich Lahagiv, Benosei meaning in the topic of how to react, Eich Lahagiv is how to react, Le'odom Hametzayer Oischa, how to react to a person who is causing you pain, causing you frustration, causing you difficulties. The Gemara, Sholach Le Ma'ukfa the Rebbe Lozer, B'nei Odom Ha'oindim Olai, I want to know concerning people who are standing up against me. Rashi says, "Lecharef ulegadef," they're cursing me. "Ubiyodi lemosram lemalchus," and it's within my power to speak to the government authorities and have them apprehended. Mahu? What is the halacha regarding that? Sirtate the Kosavle. I believe that it's because of this word that this story appears here. In the previous Sukkia, we saw the issue of Reb Evyoser. Is he a great man or not? Because he had communicated without doing this lining, let's say, rule. When one writes a verse, and we saw in our previous shiur that when one writes three words from a verse, so a lining process, lining means not underlining the words, but overlining. In other words, the tops of the letters have to reach the line that you write or etch onto the parchment. So in this story, you see, a verse is being used as a response to Mar Ukva's question, and Rebbe Lozer does the sirtut, sirtate v'kosavle, omarti eshmero dorachai mechto, mechato bilishoni, eshmero lefi machsom, ba'od rosho lenegdi. The pasuk, without getting into the literal word-for-word translation, but it describes a person who is being confronted by a wicked person, and the victim is describing how he restrains himself, withholds his tongue, and the Gemara says, "Afal pisha rosha lenegdi," even though the wicked man is standing against me, "Eshmera lefi machsom," I will muzzle my mouth. Rashi, on the line from the top, "Lenegdi miriveni umakniteni," a person who is feuding with me and irritating me. Nevertheless, when I have to confront people like that, I remain silent. That's what it says in Tehillim, if you will. That's what David HaMelech says, who himself was in fact confronted by many, by numerous opponents throughout the course of his life. And so David HaMelech's advice is that even though these people are frustrating me, and in the context of the Gemara, it would seem that even though he had the power to do them in, He nevertheless withheld himself. Sholach le, so Mar Ukva, who's the victim over here, he sends back Komitsari li tuva v'lo matzina de ekubu. They're frustrating me in an inordinately great way, and I can't withhold myself. I can't stand it. Sholach le, Rebbe Lozer sends back So a pasuk doim lashem v'hischoleil lo. That's the pasuk, and dom lashem, dom, like maybe you know the pasuk vayidom aharon, dom has to do with silence. Remain silent and rely upon Hashem, v'hu yapileim loch chalolim chalolim. The word in the pasuk we saw, v'hischoleil chalolim, in means kill them. He will literally fell them into corpses. Hashkem v'arev aleim lebeis hamedrash v'hein kolin me'aleim. What your job is to arise early and also in the evening, go to the Beis Medrash, and in the Beis Medrash you learn Torah, pray, daven to the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and they will disappear, they will dissipate on their own. The Tosfos adds, Hashkem v'arev aleim, Dorish Dom, the word in this pasuk of Dom, he darshans as Kamo Dimdume Chama. Dimdume Chama is a reference to the movement of the sun rising in the morning and the sun setting in the evening. We continue in the Gemara. Hadover Yotza Mipi Reb Elazar, the message came forth from the mouth of Reb Elazar, V'nasnuhu L'Gniva, because Gniva is the name of a person. In this case, he was the person that was frustrating, irritating Mar Ukva, and it just so happened that he was put in the kolar. Rashi says, Shalshelas Shel Barzel, iron chains, Shenoisim Shom, Hamuchtovim Machus La'Riga, a reference to people that are taken away by the secular authorities to be killed. So, you see in this story that it was a tough one for Mar Ukva, but following the advice of Reb Elazar, Mar Ukva's opponent was removed. There is quite a bit more to say about this particular character, Gniva, who appears in several places in the Shas, but for our purposes, we'll just go on in the Gemara. On the side, we have a Nosei / Mivneh heading. As you go on in the Gemara, you'll notice the use of a double underline marking here and then the wide lines. Isur Zimra, Isur Klilov. We're going to make reference to two prohibitions. These are prohibitions whose roots are in the are historically at the end of the second Beis Hamikdash period, the time when there was the deterioration of the Jewish situation that eventually culminated in the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. During that period, two Isurim that are mentioned here were imposed. One is the prohibition of Zimra. Zimra is a word associated with song and music. Klila has to do with a type of crown or wreath that in this case grooms, fellows getting married, would wear on their heads. And that practice came to a halt. The Gemara that we read now is best introduced simply by noting the fact that this issue is discussed in Maseches Sota, Daf Mem Ches Omed Aleph, and there's a Mishnah from Maseches Sota, Perek Tes, Mishnah Yud Aleph, that we've included on the side. There the Mishnah says, Mishabot La Sanhedrin, when the Sanhedrin no longer functioned, Botal Hashir Mi Beis HaMishtos, song from Mishtos. Beis HaMishtos are what we might call today bars, places that sell wine. People would sit and drink wine there, and apparently the drinking of wine was accompanied by music. So that practice stopped. The music along drinking of the wine would continue, but the playing of music and song had to stop. Shenemar, and there the Mishnah quotes a pasuk b'shir lo yishtu yayin, that in song they will no longer continue to drink wine. The Gemara sholchu lei lamar ukva zamra mino lon daosir, a message, a question was sent to Mar Ukva. Of course, you can see Mar Ukva was the subject of the story just before. So here he appears again. From where do we know that a song is usher? And when reference is made to song, Rashi says, L'shorer b'beis hamishtos, to sing in the beis hamishtos, to sing in beis hamishtos. Again, if we can, we can simply translate it as singing in bars, so be it. Continue in the Gemara, Sirte the Kosav Lahu. So he did the lining and wrote Al Tismach Yisrael El Gil Bo'amim. The pasuk has to do with do not. It's a reference to the Jewish people should not rejoice in accordance with the joy of the nations of the world. Why doesn't Mar'ukva send the following, which in fact is the pasuk that you found in the Mishnah there in Masechet Sota, Bishir lo yishtu yayin yemar shechar l'shoysov. And that pasuk, as we said before, means do not drink wine along with song anymore. So why was that not what Mar'ukva sent? Answer, Imeahu, had we had just that pasuk havamina, I would have thought hani mili zamra de mona aval de puma shori, that the prohibition is only instrumental music, or music along with instruments. Mona means vessels, or in this case musical instruments, but song vocal is okay. Komash Malon, by sending this pasuk of Al Tismach Yisrael El Gil Bamim, I know to include not only is instrumental music prohibited, but even vocal music as well is prohibited while sitting and drinking wine. Before continuing, we glance at the side. We have a topic heading. Droshos al psukim shebohem shemois shel orim be'eretz Yisrael. We'll have some teachings regarding psukim in which the names of cities of the land of Israel appear. What the purpose of this section is will become clear as we go into the Gemara itself. Omer le Rav Huna bar Noson le Rav Ashi. Mai dichtiv. What is meant by kino v'dimoino v'ad ado? Omar Le, Rav Ashi answers, what are you asking? What does it mean? Those are masvosa d'Eretz Yisrael kachoshiv. Masvosa is the plural of the word maso, which means cities. Cities of Eretz Yisrael are what are kachoshiv that are listed in this pasuk. Omar Le, Rav Huna says back to Rav Ashi, Otu ano lo yodano de masvosa d'Eretz Yisrael kachoshev. Do you think I don't know that the pasuk is listing cities in Israel? The book of Joshua, Sefer Yeshua, describes the conquest of the Jewish people of the land of Israel, and boundaries and places are referenced. So it's kind of obvious that in this section you have lists of cities. So when I was asking you what is meant by these words or this pasuk, obviously I had something else in mind. He goes on to say, Ela Rav Gvia mi Margiza Omar bo Taima. Rav Gvia had this talent of seeing in the list of names another dimension. It has a deeper meaning. It has an explanation to the names. And here you will see how the names are explained with a lesson behind them. Kol sheyesh lo kino al chavero v'domeim. Anyone who has a feeling of wrath toward his friend, and not just wrath because he doesn't like the way his nose looks, but rather because of some a based wrath on because of his friend irritating him, frustrating him, opposing him. And even so, even though you have, we'll say, this justified feeling of wrath toward your fellow man, but you remain silent, and naturally you can see here the connection between this Gemara and the section with which we opened up today's shir. What does it say in the pasuk, or what's referred to? Shochein adei ad oiselodin. Shochein adei ad is a reference to the Almighty, the one who dwells forever and ever. Will perform justice for you. Now, what we've done is we've dashed, underlined the key words, so that when you go back to the pasuk, it mentions cities kino v'dimon v'ad ado. So the word kino is associated with kino, the feeling of wrath. Dimona associated with the word domain, and ad ado associated with adeiad, the Almighty who is everlasting. The Gemara continues, Omar Lei. So Rav Ashi, after hearing Rav Huna's presentation in the name of Rav Gavia, Omar Lei Elo Me'ata, well, according to your approach, there are more cities. And we, up till now, had cited a pasuk from Yoshua Perek as well, pasuk Chof Beis. Here is a quote from pasuk Lamed Aleph. It says, Tziklag Umadmano v'sansano. Hachinami, are you going to say regarding these place names there's also some additional depth? Omar le, so Rav Huna says back, Yihave Rav Gvia mi Be'ar Giza, hocha, if Rav Gvia was here, have Omar bo taimo, he would have something to say about it. Rav Acha mi Be'choizo, Omar bo hachi. And here you have Rav Acha giving his take on it. And notice, again, the connection between the dash underlining and the names of the cities that were cited from Pasuk Lamed Aleph. So what's the lesson? What's the message? Kol mi sheyesh lo tzaakas legima al chavero v'domeim. Anyone who has a reason to scream out against your friend. Rashi says, tzaakas legima shegoizel mimenu v'yorid l'chayev l'sharei mezonosof. You have a scream again. You have a right to scream against your friend because he is imposing on your means of income. He is taking over your source of support. Now you see tzakas legima. The dashed underlining is quite deliberate. You have the word tziklag hinted to in the words tzakas. And the word legima, the lamed gimel, you could see is associated with the word, the lamed gimel at the end of the word tziklag. So anyone who has this claim against his friend for imposing upon your income, and you remain silent, and you nevertheless remain silent, shochein basneh oise lo din, the one who dwelt in the sneh. The sneh is a reference to the burning bush that Moshe Rabbeinu encountered at the beginning of Sefer Shmos, where the divine presence occupied that growth. And as you know, the bush burnt, and it nevertheless was not consumed in the flames. Quite a miraculous incident. So who was there? Of course, the divine presence was in that situation. And he, the Almighty, will do for you justice. There is more to say on this topic, but we're not going to elaborate in the context of our Daf Yomi Shiur, but one should just take into consideration teachings that you find in other Gemaras. Tosfos on this Daf, Dibra Masal Hashkeverev makes reference to other sources on this topic. The idea of a person being confronted with problems and the expectation of his remaining silent, one ought to just consider that this is certainly an approach. However, this is, to be qualified, given that you've tried other legitimate methods to solve your problem. For example, you tried going to a din Torah, to a Torah a court, having the issue presented and analyzed, and still you had no solution through that, or the opponent is unwilling to participate in a din Torah, or whatever other consideration, you tried what you could do by way of your own, we'll call it hishtadlus, and then what are you expected to do? So we saw above, one thing one should avoid is turning to the governmental authorities through halshona. Better to adopt this approach, turn to the Almighty, and He will help you. That's, of course, after you've done what you could possibly do within the bounds of, let's say, that which is acceptable on a Torah level. Let's continue in our Gemara. Amar Lei Reish Gilusa L'Rav Huna. Klila mena lon da'osir. From where do we know that klila? Klila, we referred to earlier, has to do with a crown that grooms would wear. Rashi says they used to make crowns for chasanim. There were those that were made of gold. Some were silver, and they were colored. They were painted with different materials, and there were those made of Vered and Hadas, names of different flowers, different kinds of crowns. So this practice came to an end, and it became forbidden at a certain point. From where do we know that? Omar Lei, Rav Huna answers me to Rabbonan. You notice we have a diamond marking. This is explained on the side under the Mivneh. These are Shnei Deis, Mahu Abosis Ha'isu Shoklila. Two opinions as to what the basis of the prohibition of klila is. So Rav Huna said it's a rabbinic prohibition, disnan, and now Rav Huna gives us the background. The Tanaic source from Maseches Soita says, Befumus Shalaspecianus. Pumus is a military invasion that was led by this Roman official named Aspecianus, maybe the Roman emperor of the time. He invaded Eretz Yisrael. This is very shortly before the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, and at that point, Gozru al Atoros Chasanim ve'al Ha'erus. The rabbis imposed a prohibition. When you see times of trial and tribulation, one has to reduce and limit the amount of expressions of joy. And so people, of course, continue getting married, but without this, without the Atoros Chasanim. And Erus is a type of instrument. It's described very likely as a bell that was used, and that was stopped as well. Adahochi, in the meantime, kom Rav Huna lafnuyeh. Rav Huna, who had been discussing the matter with the Reish Galusa, with the exilarch, he got up and to go out to relieve himself. Amarle Rav Chista. Rav Chista was present, and he was a student of Rav Huna. And when Rav Huna was there, so he didn't have the nerve or the boldness to speak up. And Rav Huna said his thing, and Rav Chista remained silent. However, once Rav Huna got up and walked out, so Rav Chisda spoke up. And he said to the Reish Galusa, as far as your question, there is a pasuk on which this prohibition can be based. Ksiv. The pasuk says, and take note of the fact that we're calling this a long point marking. Rav Chisda is making a point. We have a pasuk that's about two lines. The pasuk itself, Ko Amar Hashem Elokim, thusly the Almighty says, Hasir hamitznefes v'harim ho'atora zois loy zois hashofa lo hagbea v'agavoa hashpio. Again, we're not involved with literal translation, but the pasuk makes reference to the removal of the mitznefes and the picking up of the atora, the picking up in the sense of take off, pick up to remove from your head the crown. And the pasuk goes on making reference to the lowly is raised up and the high is lowered. V'chima inyan mitznefes etzel atora. In this pasuk, there's a reference to the mitznefes. Mitznefes, technically speaking, was the hat worn by the Kohen Gadol. And the pasuk makes reference to an atorah. So what is the connection between the Kohen Gadol hat and the crown? Elo lo malach. It teaches the following. Bizman shemitz nefes barosh Kohen Gadol, atorah barosh kol adam. When the Kohen Gadol was wearing the mitznefes, in other words, when the Beis HaMikdash was functioning and there was a Kohen Gadol wearing the Kohen Gadol garb, including the mitznefes, so the crown could be on the head of all people. Nistalka mitznefes mirosh Kohen Gadol, upon the removal of the mitznefes from the head of the Kohen Gadol, a reference to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, nistalka atorah mirosh kol adam. There would come an end then to the wearing of the atorah. Adohachi, also Rav Huna, in the meantime, Rav Huna now returned, ashkachinu the Havu Yasvi, he found them seated there, Rav Chisto and the Reish Galusa, and apparently he understood what they had said, what Rav Chisda had said, and Rav Huna now reacts. Amalei helakim midrabonon elochisto shmech v'chazdoin milech. Helakim is an expression of an oath. And he says, I want you to, it's like saying, I swear that it's only drabonon. And the pasuk that you're quoting is a pasuk of prophecy, indicating that the kahuna as a functioning force in the Beis HaMikdash is going to be exiled. So Rav Huna says, as far as the prohibition of Atorah is concerned, it's purely rabbinic. As far as your attempt, your name is Chisto v'chazdoin milech, and you say nice things. It's nice, like we would say, nice try. But it's not really the truth. The Gemara continues. Ravina Ashkechei Lamor Baravashi Dahave Godil Klilo Lebarte. Ravina met Mar Baravashi preparing a klilo, a crown for his daughter, a daughter who was getting married. Amar Le Ravina asks. He says, Lo Sova Lamor, do you not hold from the following Hoser Mitznefes Varei Ma Torah? A quote from the pasuk that we saw indicating that it's forbidden. Amalei, so Mar Bravashi says back, Dumya de Kohen Gadol, Begavri. The prohibition is that which is similar to the Kohen Gadol. Just like the Kohen Gadol was a male, the prohibition is regard to Gavri, men. Ava Benoshi, lo. The prohibition does not affect women. And I was making the Klila for my daughter. The pasuk went on to say, and we have a little arrow to the side of the Gemara, you can align this with the arrow above, and the pasuk that said Hasir Mitznefes, Hasira Mitznefes V'horim Ho'atorah, went on to say Zois Lo Zois, and the Gemara asks my Zois Lo Zois, what is meant by that phrase? Now, just by way of markings, take note of, we have a triangle highlighting Dorash Rav Avira here, and a few lines later, and immediately following his name, the Gemara presents possibilities in whose name Rav Avira said whatever he did. We put brackets in simply to ease up on the reading, to skip the name section first and get to see what he said. So Dorash Rav Avira, and we skip the brackets, Bishal Sha'omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, etc. and so forth. So that's how the reading flow would continue. Now let's go back over the names. Dorash Rav Avira, Zimnin Omar Le Mishmei de Rav Ami, Vizimnin Omar Le Mishmei de Rav Asi. Sometimes he would say this in the name of Rav Ami, and sometimes in the name of Rav Asi, the following. B'shal Sh'omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, when the Almighty said to the Jews, Hoser Mitznefes V'horeimu HaTorah, remove the Mitznefes and pick up and take off the HaTorah, Omru Malachei HaShores Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribonu Shalom, Zois lohen liYisrael shigdimu lefonecha naaseli nishma. Now here we've dashed underline the word zos, because what we're doing right now is explaining what does the pasuk mean when it says zos lo zos. So the word zos is a reference to the malachei hashores, what they said to the Almighty, and the pasuk had said. It was prophesying the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And the service angel said, is this what should be the fate of the wonderful Jewish people that years and years before at Mount Sinai, they were willing to accept the Torah sight unseen, meaning first we commit ourselves to doing even without knowing what they would be commanded to do. And then they said, okay, now that we've committed ourselves to action, to fulfillment, now tell us what we have to do. And that's such a wonderful expression of servility, of acceptance of you Almighty, and this is how you punish them. So with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, Amar Lohen, so the Ribbono Shelom responds to them and says, and notice we have the continuation of the pasuk, Lo Zos Lohen Yisrael Shishpilu Es HaGavoah VeGbilu Es HaShofel VeMidu Tzelem BeHechal. Should this not be the fate of the Jewish people, that they lowered that which was on high and they raised up that which was lowly, and that resulted in them setting up an idol, a tzelem, an idol, behechal, in the Beis HaMikdash itself? So we've explained then, zos, lozos, actually a discussion between the service angels, the Malachi HaShoris, and the Ribbono Shelom. Dorash Rav Avira, again with the names, and that's the connection between what we see now and what we had just before. Zimnin Omarle Mishmei Durav As Ami Vezimnin Omarle Mishmei Durav Asi Mai Dichtiv Ko Amar Hashem Im Shleimim V'chein Rabim V'chein Nogoizu V'Avar V'chulei. The pasuk goes on to say V'inisicha Lo Anech Oid Im Roya Adam Shemezeinoisav Mitzumtzomim. If a person sees that his mizonos of, literally his food or his income, is mitzumtzum, very limited, that he's just getting by, it's not a very comfortable existence. Yaseh mehen staka. The person is instructed, is advised to give charity. V'kol shekein k'shem ruben, and all the more so to give charity when you have income in abundance. My v'chein ogozu v'avar. We explained till now, im shleimim v'chein rabim. Shleimim, we didn't explain earlier, but Rashi says the word shleimim, mitzumtzumim, means tight, very exact, that you have an exact amount of money for your income, but no more cushion. So the word shleimim indicates that phenomenon, and rabim indicates plenty. So we saw what that refers to. What about v'chein nogozu v'avar? What does that mean? Also from that pasuk, Tana debei Rabbi Shmuel, kol gozeis minichosa v'oisim en stoka. Anyone gozeis is shearing. One shears wool off an animal, so one shears from his properties and does stoka. In other words, he removes from his properties funds for charity purposes. Nitzal midina shel gehenim. The avar means he passes. He passes. He's able to pass through, overcome purgatory. We have a pasuk that says stoka tatzil mimoves, that charity saves one from death. The Gemara elsewhere, if I'm not mistaken, Maseches Shabbos elaborates on that quite a bit more. Here we continue with an analogy. Moshol l'shtei rechei l'shehoyu oivrus b'mayim. The analogy to two sheep that are crossing in water, crossing a river, let's say. Achas gezuzo v'achas ein gezuzo. One sheep has just been shorn of its wool, and the other sheep is still laden with its wool. Gezuzo avra, shein gezuzo lo avra. The shorn sheep will be able to pass over the water, pass through the water. It's basically its body skin is all that is upon it, the wool having been removed. However, the sheep that's still full of its wool is highly absorbent, and the sheep will absorb all of the water, weight it down, and make it such that the the animal won't be able to get by, won't be able to cross. So the idea here, if a person finds himself in trouble, especially in financial trouble, the advice is for him to do tzedakah, and that will enable him to get through his difficulties. And giving tzedakah is portrayed here as the shearing of the wool. Remove from your funds, give it tzedakah, you'll get through. If you don't, if you keep it on you, keep the money with you, so you won't be saved. The pasuk went on to say, v'inisich lo enech od. The Gemara continues at the top of Omid Beis, v'inisich Omar Marzutra afilu oni hamisparnis min tzedakah yaseh tzedakah. V'inisich is a reference to even someone who's poor should not restrain, abstain himself from doing tzedakah. The pasuk went on to say, "Lo ein echod, Tony Rav Yosef shuv ein marin lo simone anius." If a person who's impoverished and he performs tzedakah, he will then be merit being well, say extricated from poverty and not be shown signs of impoverishment anymore. At this point in the Gemara, we have a topic heading. And in fact, we call this a nosei klali, a general topic heading. Gvulos Eretz Yisrael. We're going to deal here with the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. And the immediate topic, the nosei, Haim Akai Hu Hagvul HaTzvonish Eretz Yisrael. One that will be under discussion is Akko really the northern boundary of Israel? When learning the Mishnah, that's the impression we gained. And number two, Haim Noisnim Kesimin Ligvul Dover Kal Kamo Mesila. When describing boundaries, do we cite in boundaries even narrow paths? Well, that issue will become clear as we go into the Gemara itself. Now the Gemara. We quote from the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Meirekem leMizrach veChulei. The Mishnah went on to say, Meakoy leTzofon veAkoy keTzofon. Here, Rabbi Yehuda was giving us the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. In other words, places were mentioned from these points outwards is already not considered Eretz Yisrael with the halachic ramifications regarding a get brought from these places. The agent, the shliach, would have to say b'fonai nechtav u'b'fonai nechtam. L'meimra de'akoy l'tzvoyno d'Eretz Yisrael kaima. From the Mishnah, are we to conclude that Akko represents the northern extent of Eretz Yisrael, beyond which is no longer Eretz Yisrael, v'raminu? We raise a contradiction from another Tanaic source. Hoya mahalich me'Akko l'kziv. Person is walking from Akko to Kziv. Kziv is the name of a place. Miminoi l'mizrach haderech. As he's walking on the road to his right, which is east, Temeo mishum eretz ha'amim, ufturo min ha'maiser min ha'shvias. While you're walking on this road or this path, so recognize that to your right, which is to the east, it's considered outside Eretz Yisrael. And the rules that apply to lands outside Eretz Yisrael, which is called here Eretz Ha'amim, involves a rabbinic form of defilement. That's Tumas Eretz Ha'amim. We're not going to elaborate on that right now. Just recognize there's a certain Tumah associated with the lands outside of Eretz Yisrael. Furthermore, there from regarding vegetation that one harvests, he would be exempt from the Miser tithe, and from it's also the land areas to the right of this path, which is east of this path, are exempt from the laws of Shemitah, the sabbatical year. Ad shivodaloch shehi chayeves, until you have testimony that, let us say, the path that you're walking right now from Akuk to Ziv, it's, since on your right you have the easterly direction, you recognize that you're walking in a northerly direction. Off to your right is the east. So this path, as we just said, to the east is considered, to the east of the path is considered non-Eretz Yisrael, unless you have testimony that the path veered inwards. In other words, it didn't remain a straight path, but then it veered, it turned inwards, so that you would be then walking in a, let's say, northwesterly direction, so that to your immediate right would now be considered within Eretz Yisrael. Mismolo lemarov, to your left, which is to the west, lemarov haderech, to the west of this path, tahora mishum eretz ha'amim, v'chayeves b'maiser u'b'shvias, and the rules of tithing and the sabbatical rules apply, ad shivonach loch sheep turanla, until you have testimony that the path veered, let's say, outwards, veered easterly, so that it's no longer considered part of Eretz Yisrael. Ad Heichon, this goes until when? Ad Kziv, until you get to Kziv, and Rabbi Yishmoel, Rabbi Yossi, Oimer, Mishum, Oviv, Ad Le Balbo, until you get to that place called Balbo. What do you see from this? You see here is that you're going from Akko to Kziv, and the laws of Eretz Yisrael continue, so that Akko is not the northern extreme of Eretz Yisrael. Omar Abaye says, Ritzua Nafka. Ritzua is a strip of land that continues, in fact, beyond the main body of Eretz Yisrael. And that is what this Tanaic source just described. So the main body of Eretz Yisrael ends where Akko is. There is a strip of land that continues, in fact, beyond that. And we just defined it to the right of the path, we said is Chutz La'aretz, to the left of the path, which is west of the path, is Eretz Yisrael. But the main body of Eretz Yisrael is defined as its northern extreme, where Akko is. The Rashi across from here says, "Ritzua nafki le'olam na Akko litzvon ribua Eretz Yisrael." Akko represents the northern extreme of the ribua. Literally, is the square of Eretz Yisrael, the rectangle, but it's a reference to the main body of Eretz Yisrael. Elas shiritzua k'tzora yaitzis oid me Akko litzad sofon v'hi me Eretz Yisrael. A strip of land continues north of Akko, which is also part of Eretz Yisrael, as we describe. We turn back to the Gemara. V'yoyev tano simona hochi. Would you find in a Tanaic source a simon is a sign, this kind of sign or geographic definition or demarcation in this way? The Gemara says, little strips of land are cited in Tanaic sources. Not only that, Kronami Yohiv Simona, you find a verse that makes reference to a path as a point of demarcation. Dichtiv. Here we have a pasuk that lasts about three lines in the Gemara. Vayomru hinei chag Hashem b'shilo miyamim yomimo. The pasuk describes a celebration in a town, in a place called Shilo. Asher mitzvona lebeis el. This place Shilo is north of Beis El. Beis El being a location, a place. Mizrocha Hashemesh lamasila. Ha'ola mi Beisel Shchema, and Shilo is located to the east of the path of the road that goes from Beisel to Shchem. U mi Negev l'Levona. Negev is a direction we call the south, and Shilo is to the south of Levona. And in the pasuk, we already explained. But Rav Papa says, "V'yom Rav Papa leMizracha Shel Masila." Shilo is located to the east of the path. In the pasuk itself, we dashed underline Mizracha Hashemesh LaMasila. which means, as we said, that Shiloh is set off or located east of the path. But for our purposes, what do we see here? We see that the scripture itself, in referring to locations, makes reference or uses a path as a point of demarcation. So it shouldn't strike you as odd that the Tana does the same, as we referred to before, with regard to Eretz Yisrael extending a bit north of Akko till Ksiv, and we made reference to the path that leads from Akko to Ksiv. Before we go further in the Gemara, we glance at the side. We have a Nosei / Mivneh heading. Triangles will appear shortly. These are three tshuvos, liyashiv stira b'din get, shenichtav b'sfina b'eretz Yisrael. We're going to have three responses to resolve what would seem to be a contradiction regarding a divorce document, a get, that's written in a boat in Eretz Yisrael. We can't explain too much more than that because we don't want to limit ourselves with regard to the responses that the Gemara gives. So suffice it to say that you have an image right now of a get that's written in a boat, and a boat naturally is on water, and we're dealing with the confines of a boat in Eretz Yisrael. But what do we mean by in Eretz Yisrael proper? That we are not going to define as of yet. Tana Chada, one Tanaic source says, Hamevi get besfina kemevi beretz Yisrael. We look at the Rashi right under the Gemara text, Hamevi get besfina, shenichta besfina, a get written in a boat, v'kosalka daitach. And here you can see why we hesitated before. The thinking right now is debinaharos de eretz Yisrael komar. The thinking right now is a boat sailing on a river in the land of Israel. So one Tanaic source says that a get that's written there is like kemevi beretz Yisrael, and our Rashi continues kemevi beretz Yisrael kiilu mevia derech yabosha. It's no different than a get that's written in some one location in Eretz Yisrael and brought over land to another place in Eretz Yisrael, and as such there is no need for the Befonai Nechtav on the part of the agent. Continuing in the Gemara, V'tanya Idach Kemevi B'chutzlaretz. That would mean that the river in Eretz Yisrael does not have the status of the land of Eretz Yisrael. So we have a contradiction then. Source 1 says that the rivers of Eretz Yisrael are like Eretz Yisrael proper. The second source says it's not. Omar, Rabbi Yirmiyah, lo kashya. Rabbi Yirmiyah, the first approach is there's no contradiction. Ha, Rabbi Yehuda, ha, Rabbanan. The two sources that we labeled Aleph and Beis are actually two different Tanaic points of view. So it's not a contradiction in sources, but rather two points of view. Disnan, and here we have a Tanaic source in which you'll see the Tanakama, the Rabbanan, and Rabbi Yehuda featured. What does it say here? Afar chutzlaretz habo besvina laaretz chayav b'maiser b'shvius. We glance at Rashi. Rashi, you'll find in the lower part of the page. Afar chutzlaretz habo besvina laaretz v'zaroi besvina v'tzamcha. There was dirt in a boat. The dirt was dirt from outside Eretz Yisrael. That's in a boat in now coming to Eretz Yisrael. And there are plants growing in this dirt. And Rashi adds, Vasfina Shilcheresi. It's a boat made of clay. And as far as it being attached to the ground, even without a hole in it, a boat that's made of clay, or a vessel that's made of clay that's lying on the ground, is considered attached to the ground. So now we continue in our source, having read the Tanakama, it says that it's chayev in Meisern Shvius, means that the boat is considered part of Eretz Yisrael, so that you have to tithe the produce that's growing from the dirt in this boat, and you have to observe the laws of Shemitah, which are Eretz Yisrael-based halachas. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amosai, when do we say Chayva Maiser Shias? Bizman Shasfina Goyshesh. When the boat has run aground, meaning the you have a situation where the boat was traveling in waters that were very shallow, and it became stalled. It ran aground, as the term goes. Aval ein hasfina goyshesh poter. If the boat is floating on water, it's not goyshesh, then it's exempt. It's the produce is exempt from meiser, it's exempt from shvius. What do we see as far as Rabbi Yehuda is concerned? That a floating boat, though it's within in the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, but it's floating on water, it's not considered Eretz Yisrael. The Tanna Kamma didn't make that distinction. The Tanna Kamma says floating boats are part of Eretz Yisrael. Hence, source Aleph that says maybe get b'sfina kemevi b'Eretz Yisrael would parallel the Tanna Kamma. The source B base that says kemevi b'chusaris, that would parallel Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara continues, Abaye Omar, Ha Vaha Rabbi Yehuda, He. In fact, sources Aleph and Beis, the two brises that we saw that seem to be contradictory, are both in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda. Kan Bizman She'ein Asfina Geisheshes, Kan Bizman She'asfina Geisheshes. It all depends. If the Sfina is not Geisheshes, it hasn't run aground, so what did Rabbi Yehuda say? It's considered like Chutzlaretz. And if it's, that would be then what we saw in source Beis. Source Aleph, that views the produce growing in the boat, that views the get written in the boat as if written in Eretz Yisrael, that's if you're dealing with a boat that's run aground. You can see we have a bracketed section. This is a bracketed section that lasts till the fifth line from the top of Daf Ches Amud Aleph. On the side we have a starred note. Matris HaSagrayim, the purpose of these brackets, Lishmo Aretzef HaTshuvos, to maintain the sense of continuity in the series of answers, Lihishuv Shnei Abraisis, to resolve the two Tanaic sources concerning the get written in a boat in Eretz Yisrael. So if you skip the bracketed section, that takes you to triangle number 3 on Ches Omer Aleph. What do you see? You see Rav Nachman Yitzchak Omar, B'Nahoro Yisteretz Yisrael D'Kuliyama Lo Pligi. As far as a get written on a boat in the land of Israel, there is no discussion, there is no machlokas about that. That's part of Eretz Yisrael, even if the boat has not run aground. The Eloki Pligi, the two sources that are at odds with one another, that's B'Yam HaGodol. That's with regard to a boat that's on the Mediterranean. And when we get to Rav Nachman, we'll pause and describe that in greater detail. But in the meantime, we have a bracketed section. The topic heading on the side, you can see Nosei/Mivneh. We note Bisograya means in this bracketed section, what will be discussed. Well, first of all, a double underline appears. Deos bedin otzitz nokov hamunach agabi yesedos. Opinions regarding a holed flower pot, a flower pot with a hole in it that's not sitting on the floor, but rather it's elevated on pegs. And the topic concerning flower pots and their location in Eretz Yisrael leads us, of course, to the issue of is the produce growing in there considered part of the ground, part of that which grows from Eretz Yisrael, and hence obligated in being tithed and other related Eretz Yisrael halachas. The Gemara, Omar Rabbi Zera, Otzitz Nokuv Hamunoch Al Gabi Yesedos. An otzitz is a flower pot, Nokuv, more neck of a hole. There's a hole in the flower pot, and it's sitting on pegs, on stilts, on pegs. It's elevated. And there's airspace under the flower pot. Ponu l'machlokis Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbanan. How do we deal with that which grows in such a flower pot? So Rabbi Zera says this will parallel the machlokis tanoim that we saw concerning the boat floating on water, that has not run aground. How does the parallel work? According to the Rabbanan, that said that the that which grows in the boat is chayav in Meiser and Shvius. The fact that the boat has not run aground doesn't matter, and it's still part of Eretz Yisrael. So the flower pot that's not sitting on the ground, that doesn't matter. It's still part of Eretz Yisrael. According to Rabbi Yehuda, who said regarding the boat, that if it's floating, it hasn't run aground, it's not part of Eretz Yisrael. So to the flower pot that's elevated, it's not on the ground, it's not going to be obligated in tithing until it would be sitting on the ground. Omar Rava. Rava disagrees with Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera tried to parallel or to take this issue of Otzitz Nokuv HaMunuch HaBeisedos and say the resolution or how to rule on that depends on the Machlokes Tanoim, as we explained. And Rava disagrees with that analysis. He has Dilma Lohi. And this is, we have a long marking called a Dechia. This is a rejection, and it takes you to the end of the bracketed section. Omar Rava, Dilma Lohi. Maybe the parallel is not, or what I see, the analysis of Rabbi Zera is not as he said. Ad kan lo ko'oma Rabbi Yehuda hasam elo besfina. Could be that Rabbi Yehuda said what he did only with regard to a boat. In other words, the floating boat is not part of Eretz Yisrael. Let's continue at the top of Daf Ches. Ho asuyo levroach. Let's read that phrase again. Ad kan lo ko'oma Rabbi Yehuda hasam elo besfina. Ho asuyo levroach. A boat is made for movement, literally to run away. But it's not stationary. So therefore, you can't view it as part of the land. But a flower pot that is stationary, albeit located, positioned on stilts, but it's not made for movement, therefore it can be viewed as attached to the land. So that Rabbi Yehuda himself might say that the flower pot raised on stilts in Eretz Yisrael is obligated in tithing and other Eretz Yisrael laws. Inami ad kan lo kami rabbonon hasem elo besfina delo mafsik avira. Alternatively, it could be that the rabbonon were willing to view the floating boat as part of Eretz Yisrael, is because from underneath the boat till the actual riverbed, the ground proper, there was no air space. The water simply being viewed as, in Rashi you can see the second line from the top, Maya Kara Smichto. The water is like solid ground. There's no air. It's, but you have the boat, in which you have the produce growing, and under the boat, water, and under that, the solid ground. It's considered one continuum with the ground. So therefore, the Rabbanan were willing to view that which is growing in a floating boat in Eretz Yisrael as part of Eretz Yisrael. Let's read that again. Ad kan lo kami Rabbanan hasem el besfina de lo mafsik avira. There's no interruption of airspace, de maya ki aros michta damya. The phrase that we quoted from Rashi, you see here in the Gemara itself. Maya is water, is like aros michta, like the solid or thick ground, solid ground. Damya, damya means it's like, it's compared to. Aval otzitz de mafsik avira lo. But a flower pot raised on stilts, where you have air flowing underneath the flower pot, it's not attached, not viewed as attached to the ground. So the Rabbanan might very well, though, with regard to the floating boat, consider that part of Eretz Yisrael. The flower pot raised on stilts, not part of Eretz Yisrael. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok Omar, a third approach to the sources that we had labeled Aleph and Beis regarding the get that was written in a boat. He says, "Binahoros Eretz Yisrael dekuli amalo pligi." If the issue of the boat was a boat on a river in Eretz Yisrael, there would be no argument, there would be no disagreement between the two sources. That's considered part of Eretz Yisrael, even if the boat had not run aground. The issue of a get, a divorce document, as Rashi says, has nothing to do with receiving, absorbing nutrients from the ground, which would be a consideration, let's say, regarding laws regarding produce of Eretz Yisrael, like Meiser and Shvius. Therefore, as far as the rules of a get are concerned, it wouldn't matter whether the get is written on a boat in Eretz Yisrael, on the dry ground, on dry ground of Eretz Yisrael. Whichever way, the boat floating in the waters of a river of Eretz Yisrael is like written in Eretz Yisrael, and a shliach would not have to say b'fonai nechtam b'fonai nechtam. So where does the issue come up? Elo ki pligi b'yam hagodol. The issue comes up concerning a boat in the Mediterranean. And now we have to find, as we go on in the Gemara, a point of disagreement, a point of controversy, where source Aleph will say one thing and source Beis will hold something else. Before we go on in the Gemara, we're going to, we'll say, anticipate the text of the Gemara visually by looking at a crude map that we've drawn. And you'll notice in the margin, the lower part of our Gemara marked page, we have an aerial view called a satellite photograph. Of course, I'm saying that as just by tongue in cheek. We have a crude diagram, and you can see we've labeled on the right hand as Eretz Yisrael, and you can see the outline of the western boundary, the coastline of Eretz Yisrael, and there's the Yam, the sea. The northern, we'll say, there's a northern extent called Ture Amnon. And there's a southern extent called Nachal Mitzrayim. Ture Amnon is a reference to mountains, the Amnon Mountains. We're going to, in the course of the discussion, we're going to imagine a string drawn from the Ture Amnon south to the Nachal Mitzrayim. You can see the string appears in a somewhat of a diagonal. To the right of the string, the water between the string, which is represented by the dashed line, and the coast of Eretz Yisrael, albeit water, that will be considered Eretz Yisrael. And we're going to find, as we go on in the Gemara, that there is no argument about that region, that water area. What about the water to the left, means westward? You can see we've indicated in our diagram, it's called Ezor Hashonui B'Machlokas, a region that is actually the subject of the disagreement. There's what we've done, as far as the string is concerned, we've presented one school of thought in terms of defining the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael in the water. There is we use the term sometimes international waters, and those are waters that are not associated with any particular country. The waters that we say are at high sea. However, there are territorial waters. In our sukkah, we're going to try to focus in on what is considered territorial waters and what's considered international waters. So as far as this opinion, this happens to be the opinion of the Rabbanon. In order to define which waters are part of Eretz Yisrael, you would take the string and draw the string from Turi Amnon down to Nachal Mitzrayim, and the Shitas HaRabbanon is that the waters that are east of that imaginary string are part of Eretz Yisrael. That is to east of the string, meaning to your right as you're looking at the picture, and to the left of the string, west of that diagonal string, would be considered international waters. And if you have a boat and a get that's being written in a boat, at that point, that's a get that is considered written in Chutz Laretz, and the agent who eventually brings that get will have to say, B'fonei Nechta, B'fonei Nechtam. There's a totally different approach, and that is the approach of Rabbi Huda. He says, instead of drawing the string in a diagonal, you take a string, and again, an imaginary string, draw it from the Turi Amnon, and you draw the string westward. That's straight out over the sea, westward. Do the same thing with the southern boundary, Nachal Mitzrayim, and draw a string westward. All the water contained between those strings, according to Rabbi Huda, in other words, all of the water opposite the coastline of Eretz Yisrael, and going all the way to the end of the Mediterranean Sea, going to get all the way out to Spain, which is considered the end of civilization, of the settled world. Certainly at the time of our discussion, we'll say that Spain was viewed as the end of the civilized world, the known civilized world, as far as the Gemara is concerned. So for our purposes, you're including a tremendous amount of the Mediterranean Sea, all of the coastline of the sea opposite the coastline of Eretz Yisrael. In Rishonim, there's a shita that actually has the strings drawn in east-west fashion, but at a diagonal, and that would take in quite a bit more, but we don't have to involve ourselves with that right now. All we want to note is that what, according to Rabbi Huda, is considered part of Eretz Yisrael, all the waters between those strings drawn, we'll call them parallel strings, drawn out in a east-west direction. So the water between the strings, opposite the coastline of Eretz Yisrael, is Eretz Yisrael, and everything to the other, either the northern side of the string in the northern part, and the southern side of the string on the southern part, that's already outside Eretz Yisrael. So we continue with the Gemara, Eloki Pligi B'yam Hagodol. Under what circumstances do the two sources disagree? It's with regard to the Yam HaGodol, the Great Sea, the Mediterranean Sea, not rivers in Eretz Yisrael. Desanya, Eizehu Eretz V'Eizehu Chutz Laretz. What is considered Eretz Yisrael regarding the Great Sea, and what is considered outside of Eretz Yisrael? Kol sheshefeya v'yored miturei amnon v'lifnim Eretz Yisrael. Miturei amnon v'lachutz chutzolaretz. As we explained earlier, you first locate Turei Amnon, the mountains of Amnon that were at the north, we'll call it the northwestern extent of the land of Israel, and you locate, we'll say, the top of the mountain, and then from the top of that mountain downwards, sloping downwards, and as we explained before, you're going to draw the string we mentioned before. The source itself will elaborate on that, but as we said, you're from that point, from the Turi Amnon, and as we said, it's a mountain that slopes downwards. If you look in the Rashi, a few lines down in the narrow lines of Rashi, Kol Sheshaveh V'Yorid Ben Turi Amnon V'Lifnim Litzad Eretz Yisrael Tainu Litzad Dorom Havei Eretz Yisrael. From the top of the mountain sloping southerly, that is Eretz Yisrael. The Gova Har Huagvul, the top of the mountain, represents the boundary. And then the Opposite is also the case. In other words, from the top of a mountain outwards, meaning north of the Trianon, that's considered Chutz Laretz. So we continue in the Tanaic source. Hanasin Shebiyam. The Nasin are islands. Islands in the sea. Royan Oison. We view them. Kilu Chut Motua Chaleh Mituri Amnon Ad Nacho Mitzrayim. The string that we referred to earlier is drawn from the top of the Turi Amnon down to Nachal Mitzrayim, the southern point. Min Hachut V'lifnim Eretz Yisrael, the islands that are within that string, that diagonal string, which we would say then to the east of that string, that those islands, though they're in the sea, they're considered part of Eretz Yisrael. Min Hachut V'lachutz Chutz Laretz, from the string outwards, west of the string, that's considered Chutz Laretz. We are making reference here to islands because on islands you can plow and plant, and that has ramifications for the halachas of Eretz Yisrael with regard to plants and tithing, etc. Of course, we're in our sugya focusing on the two Tanaic sources, Aleph and Beis, from the previous Omid. There, we're talking about the writing of a get, and that's not restricted to the land per se. So the same applies to the water that's located within these boundaries. That if it's on the eastern side of the imaginary string, the get written in a boat there would be considered written in Eretz Yisrael, and west of that imaginary diagonal string be considered as written in Chutz Laretz. Let's continue in our Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kol Shekeneged Eretz Yisrael Harehu Keretz Yisrael. All the water that's opposite the shoreline of Eretz Yisrael, all the water going westwards from the shore of Eretz Yisrael, that's considered Eretz Yisrael. Shenemar, the pasuk says, Ugvul Yam V'hoyo Lochem Hayam Hagodol Ugvul Ze Ye Lochem Gvul Yam. The pasuk, without getting into the literal translation, is making reference to the western boundary of Eretz Yisrael is the sea. And when we say the sea, we're actually including the sea that is west of Eretz Yisrael. And we've dashed underlined the word Ugvul, which would be the basis for Rebbe Yehuda, that the sea itself is considered part of Eretz Yisrael, provided it's opposite the shoreline of Eretz Yisrael. V'hanasin shebitzdodin, the islands that are to the side, means the islands in the waters. We have to now evaluate: are those islands part of Eretz Yisrael or not? According to Rabbi Yehuda, Royan Oisan Kiluchut Motuach Alehen, we view them as if there's an imaginary string that is drawn over them. Mikafluria viad yam okeanus uminacho mitzrayim viad yam okeanus. Kafluria is a city that's at the top of a mountain, which would be the Rashi says Bechudo Shel Horhor, which is the northern boundary of Eretz Yisrael as far as Rabbi Yehuda is concerned. So you imagine a string drawn from Kafluria, that city, drawn from there into the sea, so to speak. The string is running east to west, and a parallel string drawn from Nachal Mitzrayim westward until the Yam Okeanus, a reference to what we would probably call the Atlantic Ocean. That's in contrast to the term Yam HaGodol, a reference to the Mediterranean Sea. Min hachut v'lifnim Eretz Yisrael, that means the area of water between the strings, that's part of Eretz Yisrael as far as Rebbe is concerned. Min hachut v'lachutz chutzarts. North of the northern string, and south of the southern string, that's considered chutzlaretz. V'rabbanan hai ugvul mai avdile. We have a little arrow to the left-hand side of the Gemara text, pointing to where we saw this before. Rabbi Yehuda used ugvul as the source in the pasuk to say that the sea is included in Eretz Yisrael. What do the Rabbanan do with that word? Miboya le la nosim. The Rabbanan use ugvul to say that islands in the water are considered part of Eretz Yisrael. Rashi, miboya lehu lenosim, de min hachud v'lefnim litzad mizrachi. The islands that are east of that imaginary diagonal string that the Rabbanan made reference to before, those islands are part of Eretz Yisrael. De lo tema, you should not say Sfas Hayam Hu Hagvul Vafil B'Mokom Shu Mispashit V'Nichnas L'Soich Bein Shnei Mitzos HaTchumen. Don't think that the shoreline itself is the boundary, but rather the pasuk says the islands that are in the water are also considered part of Eretz Yisrael. Ve'Rabbi Yehuda, back in the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda, Nasin Lo Tzrichi Kra. The islands do not need a pasuk to include them as part of Eretz Yisrael. It's, as far as Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, since the islands are in the water that are between the two parallel strings, so of course they are also part of Eretz Yisrael. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.